didn't get lost when I went out there. I was just trying to make sure it didn't happen again, so just in case you were wondering. Technology is working good, so that's right. Welcome here, everyone. Let's just pray before we get started. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for how you work in our lives. We sometimes think curves come at us, but they're not curves to you. You know the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. So I pray, Father, that as I have prepared for this, that you would use the words that I am going to speak to bring praise, honor, and glory to your name. And I pray that as we've sung already, that your Holy Spirit would just be here now and be working in all of our lives. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It was a real challenge for me to include all the important aspects that have occurred over the last 4.5 years. So I hope you realize that there are some things that were just not included. So it's going to be a testimony of what has happened in our lives with regards to our journey with cancer and Penny and our family. When I knew I was going to be giving this testimony in front of you today, I started thinking about a title. Over a few days, a few options came to my mind, and here are a few of the iterations that came to me. Navigating in rough waters, navigating a storm, navigating a storm of life, navigating life. After prayerful consideration, navigating life was the title it best fit. The other options left a suggestive note that this was a one-time occurrence or a happening that came and went, and that was the end of the so-called situation, trip, or journey. Many, if not all of us have gone on a trip at one point or another. Put yourself in that space and time right now. Let's go on a trip or a journey together. Will you join me? Some of you right now are saying, yep, in your mind, I'm coming. I would say you're the type that maybe fly by the seat of the pants and love adventure and excitement. Some of you are saying no in your mind. Can't be done right now. There's too much going on. Besides that, where are we going and what's the reason? Some of you are undecided. You would like to go, but there are things keeping you from saying yes or no at this point. You may be wanting a little more information or time to work through this before you decide. What are some of the emotions you would feel? Would you be excited or would you be apprehensive? Would there be a sense of freedom or would you think you'd be constricted or under bondage? There's probably a raft of other emotions. What are some of the important details that you would need to know? Well, dates, that would be important. Start and end date. You'd want to know what kind of transportation would be needed, right? What sort of activities? Is there going to be some sightseeing going on? What are the restaurants and entertainment? Then there's the costs. Travel costs, food, entertainment, and gifts if you want to get some, and some keepsakes maybe. Safety is always a concern. And of course, you need clothes, right? What if we wipe the slate clean and I tell you, you don't need to know any of these details. In fact, I'm not going to provide that information to you. It's on a need-to-know basis. You've already said yes, so we're going. No ifs, ands, or buts. Where does that leave you? It leaves you at a place where you are totally reliant on me or the individual who asked you to join him or her. Some of you may think that you've just been coerced, but you decided to say yes. Let me start by going back to March 2013. That's over 4.5 years ago. As some of you may know, I play hockey. On that day, I was headed to a hockey tournament in Lloydminster. March can be can give us some bad weather to travel through, but that day the sun was out and it was rather warm, or mild. Everything was going well. The car was purring along, and then I got the phone call. It was Penny. She had just received a call from the cancer clinic indicating that she had been diagnosed with breast cancer. I actually don't think the full impact of that hit me until some time later. Not sure if it was hours or days, but it took some time to sink in. It may seem rather silly to some of you that I say what I'm going to say next, but here it is. At that point, I had a decision to make. That decision was to either continue on to Lloydminster or turn around and come back home. I say it may seem silly because I know that about 95 to 100% of the ladies here would say there is no question at all as to what to do. Go home. I don't want to shed a bad light on the men here, so I won't offer a suggestion on what most guys would lean towards doing. What does a man do when he is confronted with something like this? Well, I did the only thing I thought of, and that was I asked Penny if she wanted me to come home. I reasoned, what could be done anyway? It was Friday, everything would be closed, and nothing could be done. There was a small voice in the back of my head saying, you need to turn around and go home to be with Penny. But the desire to go play hockey was still pulling me to Lloydminster. After all, I had committed to playing with the team, and now I would not be keeping my word. The other thing that flashed through my head was this piece of advice that I either read or heard from some well-respected individual. It went something like this. Her no means yes. I could spend a lot of time trying to explain this, if it's at all explainable, but each of us men have to figure this one out on our own. Good luck with that. If you're anything like me, you're going to be a slow learner. You'll be happy to know I turned around and came home. This time her no was a yes. Seriously, I got home and we talked about the cancer clinic phone call, then we prayed about it and tried to deal with the shock of the news and the situation. From that point on, we moved on to what I would call the seeking information stage, which included getting a second opinion. The Lord directed us through Penny's sister to a doctor in Edmonton that practices and provides alternative medicine treatments. We made an appointment and traveled to Edmonton. Blood work was taken and a number of tests were done. The doctor suggested a number of online resources to go through and suggested some other reading material. The one thing that he said that still sticks in my mind, which is totally contrary to what the cancer clinic was saying, was, quote, do not be in a hurry to decide what to do. This, meaning the cancer, has taken a while to form and present itself. It just didn't show up overnight. You have time to decide what to do, unquote. With all of our concerns when given the news that you have cancer and now another doctor informing us to look at the information he had suggested, we moved ahead. We took his advice and accessed the online resources, read books, found other resources, and just immersed ourselves in the reading and the learning. In hindsight, the Lord was having us educate ourselves. Sure, we have heard of cancer before. Who hasn't? But that alone did not previously spur us on to do anything about it or look into it any further. This situation forced us to look deeper. I looked through my notes, and here are some notes I took while I was researching and learning over the 4 years ago. Just to let you know, learning has not stopped. Please note that some of this information is controversial. I'm just presenting information that we were reading and accessing at that point in time. And I've kept some of the information out because I don't want it to negatively affect what I'm presenting. Chemo and radiation create a lack of immune response. What is the success rate of chemotherapy? What is the survival rate when chemo is administered? Why do people die from cancer? Lack of information, lack of discipline once they have the information, blind trust in their cancer doctor. Cancer is not a death sentence. Has a cancer doctor explored the cause of the cancer with you? Reverse the condition that caused the cancer. Medical information that is accepted without question. Cancer is a foreign enemy that must be attacked. Acceptable treatment is surgery, chemo, and radiation. Patented synthetic drugs are superior to any natural non-toxic substance. Food supplements are a waste of money for those who eat a balanced diet. Dental toxins have nothing to do with health. Some essentials. Number one, attitude. Cancer is survivable. Take charge of your own health care. Have 100% commitment to a regimen involving eating habits and supplements and identifying, reversing the causes or the cause of cancer. Advocate. Have someone do battle for you. The path you are choosing is controversial. You'll need help and moral support. Advocate must be committed to your recovery. Be willing to question healthcare professionals. Be willing to discuss options with your doctor. Assistance. The right medical professional is needed. Ask if the course of action is treating symptoms or determining the cause and treating it. Concerned about prevention. Looking for alternative, complementary, integrative, or functional medicine. I want your help, but I believe I am in charge of my own health care. Is that consistent with your approach? Action. You must start treating yourself. Take supplements immediately. If chemotherapy is prescribed, always ask to see statistical studies and warning labels. Most causes of cancer occur as a result of an emotional trauma, root canal in teeth and or cavitation, what we put in our mouth. Cancer is a reaction to a symptom, not a disease. Cancer is a reaction to the lifestyle choices we have made and what's happened to you over the last number of years. If your body's immune system is healthy enough to fight off all toxins it takes in or which reside in it, you don't get the reaction called cancer. Cancer is not a disease. It's a symptom of an imbalance in your body. This information gave us a different way of looking at this situation, although it took time for us to digest what we were reading and researching. Each of us has to decide what we are going to do with the information we have before us. 1 John 4:1 says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." This scripture verse is an encouragement to Christians to test the teachings and beliefs of everyone who would pretend to be speaking on behalf of God. So as I say that, I encourage you to do that. How do you do that? Well, you can start by looking up the scripture and reading it for yourself, then seek to understand the context under which it is written and go from there. I would encourage you all not to blindly accept information that is provided to you. Be discerning in any subject matter. This can be carried further than just with the Word of God. We are also wise to test teachings and beliefs of everyone. We have more information available to us than ever before. It's called Google. We just need to make time and have the mental discipline. It takes work to do this, but we learn and grow through it. We were continually praying that the Lord would give us discernment and wisdom, and that the Lord would help us make decisions that we needed to make. By this time, the cancer clinic had called. had pulled together a team of individuals and determined the course of action. Chemo would have to happen first, then surgery, and then radiation was the treatment plan. When we met with the oncology doctor, we also had a team: Penny, two of her sisters, and myself. We listened to what was said and asked for all the information sheets on the chemotherapy, etc., so that we could review and decide what our next steps were going to be. We had a pretty good idea at this point that we were going to go down a different path, but wanted to prayerfully consider what to do before making a final decision. I failed to mention that at the same time Penny was diagnosed with cancer, our son David was also diagnosed with thyroid cancer. David was 14 at the time. As we were reading, learning, and researching, David's treatment plan was provided to us. It was surgical removal of his thyroid. We had not really digested all the information that we were attaining, and there was pressure to have this surgery done quickly to reduce further impact to David and his health. The surgery was carried out and a large number of suspect lymph nodes were removed from David's left neck area. There have been many challenges with David's situation, some of which we are still working through. A few things that I will mention is that we had a visit from Child Protection Services at the request of the cancer clinic because we were not proceeding with David's treatment plan as indicated. All the way through this, we were bringing our needs before the Lord. We did not know how to navigate these situations, but put our trust in the Lord, because he knows all things. It became a constant reliance. Trust and faith were required continually. As in the essentials that I pointed out earlier started to work their way into our lives, Penny started taking charge of her own health and healthcare. She started on something called the Budwig diet. Dr. Budwig was born in Germany and was referred to as a top European cancer research scientist, biochemist, blood specialist, German pharmacologist, and physicist. I don't know how you get educated that much, but good on those people. You can look further into this if you like on the internet. Suffice it to say that the powerful healing nature of essential electron-rich unsaturated fats in flaxseed and cottage cheese, which is rich in sulfur protein, combined to reverse cancer and dissolve tumors. Dr. Budwig did not believe in the use of growth-inhibiting treatments such as chemotherapy or radiation. She was quoted as saying, "I flat declare that the usual hospital treatments today in a case of tumorous growth most certainly leads to worsening of the disease or a speedier death, and in healthy people quickly causes cancer." She was a 7-time Nobel Prize nominee. As time moved on, we continued praying and researching other forms of treatment for Penny. Penny incorporated a number of other things in her treatment plan and monitored how things were going. Penny found some information on a cancer treatment center in Germany in the Frankfurt area, and we prayerfully pursued that. The Lord opened up an opportunity for Penny to go sooner than initially thought, so we took it as the Lord's leading and finalized the details. I was able to spend the first week with Penny, and her sisters traveled there throughout the next few weeks and were a support to her throughout the duration of her stay. During that time, the sisters were able to travel and do a little sightseeing on weekends when there was no treatments. I wasn't privy to all that went on, but needless to say, they had some interesting experiences and they had a lot of fun together. Time does not permit me to go into detail on different treatments, but we were exposed to Laetril, which is apricot seed extract, full body heat therapy, thermography, live blood cell analysis, and others. After Penny returned home, we soon wanted to know if the Germany treatments had any effect. we wanted to have an MRI done, but did not know if that would be something that could be done due to cost and scheduling requirements. As I recall, the surgeon contacted us and wanted to meet to determine where things were at. We prayed about our appointment, and the surgeon actually asked us what we wanted to do. We took this as an opportunity to ask if an MRI could be done to determine if the treatments in Germany were of benefit. That was an answer to prayer. It was agreed upon, and the MRI results showed that things had stayed the same. That was very positive information to us. After that, Penny continued taking supplements and following diet restrictions as much as possible. At some point, she found a place in North Carolina that offered immunotherapy treatment. This is described as the treatment of disease by inducing, enhancing, suppressing an immune response. We traveled to North Carolina on two different occasions throughout the next couple of years and had 4 weeks of treatment each time. One of the primary ways the doctor was able to monitor a patient was by having blood tests done. The blood tests monitored the immune system cells down to the natural killer cell, type T cell, and type B cell levels. He was previously a military doctor, so he had some ways of explaining the immune cells that helped us understand. And just an example of that, natural killer cells he defined as special operations. They go in and they take care of stuff. If you watch any TV stories or shows, you know that. They're specially equipped to do their job. Most people with cancer have an immune system that is overtaxed for one reason or another. Treatments in North Carolina, some of which were hyperbaric chamber, which is an oxygen chamber, sending blood through ultraviolet light to purify it, intravenous vitamins and minerals, and intravenous substances to take out heavy metals to reduce the toxins. We continued to monitor. We were often hit with concerns about the future and what it held. Fear and anxiousness were constantly at the door of our minds. I found it helpful to memorize Philippians 4, 6 to 9, and I encouraged Penny to do the same. As I repeatedly said it a few things came to my mind. Peace guarding our hearts and our minds. And in verse 8, the words and phrases, true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, good repute, any excellence, anything worthy of praise. Philippians 4, 6 to 9 reads, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all comprehension shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. I had a picture of a soldier standing at the entrance of my mind, and that this soldier was the peace of God guarding my heart and my mind. The 8 words and phrases, if you can leave that up, Belinda. The 8 words and phrases true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, etc. They became a filter for a thought that came to me. Here's how it practically worked for me. A thought would come to me, and if I was mentally disciplined, I would say the memorized verse 8, in my mind, and if the thought was good, it would be allowed through. If, however, the thought did not meet the criteria of the words I was using as a filter, the thought actually left. The key is to be mentally disciplined. We get so many thoughts that before you know it, we have already allowed them in. You want to attempt to catch things before they are accepted and allowed in, if that makes any sense. Late in December of 2016, Penny's mobility started to be affected. We knew we needed to do something more. We had asked the elders to come and pray for healing, but before we had them come, we wanted to make sure that we did not have anything in the way that would keep God from answering our prayers and the prayers for healing. We asked the Lord to show us if we had any unconfessed sin in our lives, and as the Holy Spirit brought it to our awareness, brought our sins to our awareness, we confessed them, repented, and asked the Lord to forgive us. James 5:14-16. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Scripture tells us that we are sinners and that we need to confess our sins and repent. Then we'll be forgiven. This is not a one-time thing. It's a constant and continual aspect that we need to do, because we default, our default is to be a sinful person, sinful nature. That is why we need to meet together regularly in church and read our Bibles regularly to help us live a life that is pleasing to God. We do this by doing what the Lord says in His Word. We don't normally do what is going to come next, but I'd ask that you would just bear with me for a while. This comes out of what our family has gone through. So I'm going to take a little bit of a sidebar here from going through what it was at that point in time going through our life. Because I believe we individually need to take some time to reflect and determine if there is anything in our lives that is keeping God from answering our prayers. I'm not saying that we will be kept from health problems, but we are instructed in the Word of God to confess our sins, to make things right, to have short accounts. For the last few months, I have had these words coming to me. Isaiah 1:13. I cannot endure iniquity and solemn assembly. Iniquity means guilt worthy of punishment. It is sin at its worst. Solemn means quiet and serious. I need to spend some time determining what this means, but at this point I believe it to be that God cannot put up with our sin at its worst, and our quiet seriousness. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Do you view yourself as a sinner or not? Do you just think you are a sinner because the Bible said so, kind of like from a head knowledge type of perspective? Or have you spent time really looking deeper to determine where and if you have sin in your life? What is sin? Let's start with a definition. It's disobedience of God's laws. That can be through word, thought, or deed. It's things that we have committed, but it's also things that we have not done, that we've omitted, if we're to do some good and we haven't done that good. It's missing the mark. Let me ask a few questions. Just want to point out, this is a self-examination, so you don't need to raise your hands or anything like that. Would you consider yourself to be a good person? Most of us would say yes to that. We would be comparing ourselves to something or someone. What is it that we are comparing ourselves to? Exodus 20 has commandments. So if you want to reference these at some point in time later, please do. Have you ever taken something from someone that was not yours? What is that called when you do that? It's called stealing. What is a person called that does this? They're a stealer. The eighth commandment, you shall not steal. Have you ever taken the Lord's name in vain? That's the act of insulting or showing contempt or lack of reverence for God. Profanity, wrongful use of the name of the Lord, etc. The third commandment, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Have you ever committed adultery? That is sex outside of marriage. Matthew 5:27-28 says, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman to lust for her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. Women, this is not only for men. Don't think you're excluded. The seventh commandment, you shall not commit adultery. Have you ever bore a false witness? That is speaking falsely in any matter, which would include lying or devising and designing to deceive anyone. The ninth commandment, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. If you have answered yes to one, many, or all of these questions, you have self-confessed or acknowledged that you are, you can fill in the rest. Matthew 12:36 says this, and it's the Lord, and he's speaking to the Pharisees. And I say to you that every careless word that men shall speak, they shall render account for it in the day of judgment. June, in his sermon last week, had three main points. They were from Ephesians 5:18, seek every opportunity for God. Seek the will of God. Seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We receive the Holy Spirit the moment we receive and surrender to Jesus Christ as our Savior. Rebels that we are and rebelliousness that we act out from birth changes to obedience. Peace and harmony is strived for and lived out. To be filled with the Holy Spirit has to do with a constant, continual, repetitive surrender, control, and obedience of our wills to God's will. We find out what God's will is by reading the Bible and doing it in obedience. We do what it says. Just acknowledging that we are sinners is not enough. God's word tells us if we confess our sins, he will forgive us. We are like filthy rags before him and his holiness. Our best efforts are like filth before him. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and get this, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We grieve our pompous heart. We deserve death and separation from our loving Heavenly Father. And yet, if we confess and repent, he is gracious and merciful to us. Brokenness is an appropriate response to sin. My heart starts to melt, and tears start to flow when I become aware of just how sinful I am and what I am capable of. Yet God does not hold this against me. He does not give me what I deserve. He gives me what I don't deserve: forgiveness and cleansing. I'm so unworthy of that. Tears of thankfulness start to flow. I'm going to kneel at the front down here and ask the Lord to forgive my sins, the sins of my family, the sins of our church, and the sins of our community. The Holy Spirit is here. We have invited him. If you have sin in your life that needs to be confessed, please make your way to the front and tap me on the shoulder for the mic. It's important that we verbalize it. Please keep your prayers of a general nature. God does not want us to be specific in name. God does want us to be specific in naming the sin and making things right with others. The place to do that is in the privacy of your home or other places that you determine appropriate. Don't let what other people think keep you from making things right with the Lord. The Holy Spirit will be nudging you to do something. Surrender, and out of obedience, act upon what the Holy Spirit is asking you to do. Dear Heavenly Father, I come before you as a weak vessel, a weak person who is sinful by nature. I pray that you would forgive my sin of selfishness, thinking that I can do all things on my own. I pray that you'd forgive me for being prideful, thinking more highly of myself than I ought. Help me to be humble, Father. I pray that you'd forgive me, Father, for speaking meanly of other people. People are your handiwork, Father. Help me to look upon them as you do and treat them better than I would treat myself. Lord, I come before you and I ask that you would forgive the sins of my family. I ask that you would help us realize where we are sinful and that we would read your word and do what it says. I pray for the sins of our church, Father. If we have gone wayward in places, I pray that you would bring us back and you would help us to know what your will is. I pray for the sins of our community, Father. I just ask that your presence, your Holy Spirit, would be alive and active in our community, and that we would bring your light to the darkness. I don't feel worthy in some aspects for praying for your church and the community, but in the Bible, there are leaders who prayed for the people under them and came before you with broken hearts and just bore the burden of that to you, Father. So I thank you for that example. you feel more comfortable confessing your sins in the privacy of your own heart, go ahead and do that as well. My devotions had taken me to the book of Nehemiah in November of 2016, the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem under challenging circumstances. I don't know why the Lord directed me to this book, but I took it to mean that the Lord was going to restore Penny and we needed to go to Mexico. Penny was not convinced of that. After all, she couldn't get around on her own. How would all this work? We talked about it and prayed about it and waited on the Lord. After getting some encouragement from one of her sisters, I decided to call to see if there is any openings. There weren't until mid to late January of 2017. That was not soon enough. We prayed and I called back to see if things had changed. They had not. I again was encouraged by one of Penny's sisters to ask if there was a waiting list that Penny could be put on. There was, so he had her added to the list. We continued to pray. The next day, we got a call, and there was an opening, December 16th, Penny's birthday. We made the arrangements, and before we knew it, we were flying to San Diego and being shuttled to Tijuana. We had a daily treatment plan, met others on their cancer journey, and worked through the days as best we could. We came home in early January of 2017 and continued doing what we could do. Penny went in and out of the hospital a number of times as we worked through the various issues that came up. I received a call the morning of August 24th indicating Penny had passed away. I, by faith, was convinced that the Lord was going to restore Penny. He did. Just not in the way I thought. Instead of restoring her here on earth, he took her home and she is restored. I and her family have since been working through not having Penny with us. It's been hard not having her around, and there have been lots of why questions. A song that would be in my head every morning for quite some time after Penny's passing was "Good, Good Father." The lyrics of "You are perfect in all of your ways, you are perfect in all of your ways to us, and you're a good, good father, that's who you are," helped me to kind of convince myself that what had just occurred was the good and perfect will of the Lord, even though I was heartbroken and confused. The Lord directed me to the book of Job. If you look at chapters 38 to 42, you will see that Job had questions as well. As I worked through understanding what happened in Job's situation, I don't see a place where God answers Job's why questions. He just clearly points out who he is, and Job ultimately comes to understand that he is insignificant when compared to the great Almighty One. And who is he, Job, to be questioning God? Job recognizes his pridefulness, arrogance, self-righteousness, and it is not until Job has finally confessed his rebelliousness, given up trying to defend and justify himself, that God begins to heal and pour out blessings into this man's life. How am I doing at confessing my rebelliousness? How are we doing at confessing our rebelliousness? How are you doing at confessing your rebelliousness? Jesus said to his disciples, get in the boat. He didn't tell them any details. He didn't have them plan their journey. Do you see the connection here? Jesus did not promise them that it would be an uneventful journey. Proverbs 16:9, the mind of a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. For those of us that have asked the Lord to be our Savior, we are in the boat with Jesus. He decides where the boat is going and where it will be going. Actually, he decides everything, whether we are a believer or not. We, by faith, are reliant on him to provide all our needs. And he does. We are called to trust and obey. I can't say enough, and words can't express our thankfulness as a family to all of you who've supported us. By giving of your time, resources, praying for us, praying with us, by visiting, by supplying meals, by supplying time for me to be away from Penny, by massaging Penny's feet and legs, by cutting her hair, by brushing and flossing her teeth. Like I say, words can't express. Thanks for serving us and ministering to us through the acts of kindness on this journey. As I was preparing, a song came to my mind. It's called Jesus Take the Wheel. Carrie Underwood sings it, and I'm not totally in agreement with all of her decisions and beliefs. But this word, or this song and video, speaks volumes to us as Christians if we just look at it. One, if you listen to the words, there's a point in time where the lyrics indicate that she's spinning out of control in her vehicle. Is your life like that? Are you spinning out of control? She at one point in time also in the lyrics says she threw up her hands in the air and then says, Jesus, take the wheel. It's an indication to me that she was giving up control to Jesus. She says she's scared at one point in time. Are you afraid and scared of what's in your future? There's a few other things, so just please listen to the words, and I pray that it would be a blessing to you. Thank you.
She was driving last Friday on her way to Cincinnati on a snow-white Christmas Eve. Going home to see her mama and her daddy with the baby in the back seat. 50 miles to go and she was running low on faith and gasoline. It'd been a long, hard year. She had a lot on her mind and she didn't pay attention. She was going away too fast. Before she knew it, she was spinning on a thin black sheet of glass. She saw both her lives flash before her eyes. She didn't even have time to cry. She was so scared. She threw her hands up in the air. Jesus, take the Jesus.
she made it to the shoulder and the car came to a stop. She cried when she saw that baby in the backseat sleeping like a rock. And for the first time in a long time, she bowed her head to pray. She said, I'm sorry for the way I've been living my life. I know I've got to change. So from now on tonight, Jesus, take the wheel.
Thank you, Dennis, for your transparency and vulnerability. It's not an easy thing to get up and speak, but yeah, thank you for that. And know that you are in our prayers and your family as well. I'm going to ask you to stand for the benediction. It comes from Romans 15. May God, who gives patience and encouragement, help you live in harmony with each other, as is fitting for followers of Christ Jesus. Then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Have a good week, everyone.